All right, well, let's go into Deuteronomy 32. Last time we got together, we was talking about Moses' song. And I'm not going to go through all of those particular scriptures because I think we had about, 52. So, I'm not going to go through all of them, but let's go over some, but I hope you don't mind it, but it just helps bring out some fresh revelation, and plus it's just good to repeat things. So Moses' song, he said, "Listen, angels and men." Remember that? He began out and said, "Give ear, O heaven, and I will speak. Give ear, O earth." And so I just want to say this, that I believe that when you and I praise, when you and I pray, not only does heaven hear, but earth hears. Because, see, earth has to respond to your faith. Earth has to respond to your faith because you were given dominion on the earth. You were given the power of faith, and faith is the currency of heaven and earth. Faith is not just the currency of heaven. Faith releases what's in heaven on earth. See, on earth, the possessions are there, but in heaven's the permission. Well, you don't miss this. On earth is the possessions, but in heaven is the permission and the authority. And so God says you have to speak those things as not as though they were. And when you begin to declare those things by faith, it releases that ability for it to come to pass. Isn't that amazing? God doesn't necessarily have to create anything else. I feel good about this. It's already been done. He's that awesome. He already sat down. He created the heavens and the earth. He sat down and he made everything accessible and available to us. So Moses, he got that. He got that. So he's talking about this song. So let's go on. I just felt like teaching that for a second about faith. My doctrine shall drip as the rain. My speech shall distill. Remember, that means to flow as the dew. How many of y'all like seeing the dew in the morning, man? It's a beautiful thing. See the spider webs and the dew on it. The small rain upon the tender herb. So what he's talking about is when he begins to speak forth his doctrine, which is the word of the Lord, as he begins to prophesy, the word of the Lord covers and it brings moisture to your life. How many of y'all can testify that when you're in a dry season and you read a specific scripture and it just hits you, it waters you, don't it? One of my favorites is Proverbs 3:5-6. We mentioned it earlier. Trust in the Lord with all your heart. You know, and that has helped me. I'm sure it's helped millions and millions and billions of people. And you have scriptures too that just help you out and they water you. All right, so that's what it does. And so he's talking about that. Because I will publish the name of the Lord, ascribe you greatness unto our God. He is the rock. Remember, some translations say that, you know, being the rock as the creator. You can't get no bigger and badder than the creator. What are you going to trump that? How are you going to override that? How are you going to be something better than that? He created everything, right? So what are you going to do? That's why you always must remember, God is the originator and the creator. The devil is a counterfeit. He is a manipulator. He only can counterfeit. All right? He has the fake stuff that the guy sells in the back of his car. If you're getting a Rolex for $50, it ain't real. not a Mariner or a Daytona. All right, so he is the rock. His work is perfect, for all his ways are judgment. All right, so he's really blessing the Lord. They've corrupted themselves. Their spot is not the spot of his children. I like this part here because that was never the intentions of God. God's intention was never for us to have spots. He was never his intention for us to have any blemishes. He wanted us to be able to walk in his holiness and his righteousness. But how many of y'all know? He knows everything. He created man. Man has a vulnerability to sin, doesn't he? So he's talking about that. Do you thus requite the Lord, O foolish people and unwise? Is not thy Father that hath bought thee? Hath he not made thee and established thee? Yes, sir, he did it all. Remember the days of old, consider the years of many generations. So he goes back and he says in this song, remember your elders, remember your fathers. I'm going to tell you flat out, straight up, one of the biggest mistakes that the trendy new church has made, and why we're in failure, falter, and default, and pastors are being exposed, and so on and so forth. You did not follow the discarded values of yesterday. You left that generation. You got too trendy. You got too techno. You got too popular. You got too media. And you forgot the greats. Don't want to name them. You can think of some great names of great preachers in the past. In modern times, we've left that heritage, especially Pentecostals, those that believe in the power of the gifts. We tried to get trendy and popular. Pentecost never will, never was, is never ever going to be popular. Because being Pentecostal or moving in the gifts of the Spirit is at issue. It's adverse. It's in collision with the world, with the flesh, and with the things of the enemy. I don't know why I went there either, but it's good stuff. Because remember the days of old. And not only that, one other thing I'll say, and we'll move on a few more scriptures, is I can't forget all that God ever done for me. I can't forget everything God ever did for me. However grammar you want to use, He done good to me. He done be good to me. You know, He took care of me. He's taking care of you. And the day you forget what He's done is the day that you'll lose your help. You'll lose what strength you have, because then you'll go into fear and anxiety. You got to remember what He's done. And sometimes you got to go talk to the old folks. Not just age. I'm talking about folks that walked with God for some time. Okay, so let's go on. When the Most High divided the nations, their inheritance. Remember we talked about that? Tower of Babel. All right, so let's go. All right, for the Lord's portion is His people. Woohoo! Jacob is a lot of His inheritance. That's me. He don't care about New York City. He cares about His people. He don't care about, Saks Fifth Avenue or Rodeo Drive, all these famous names or whatever. He's not interested in real estate. He's interested in us. There's only one piece of real estate that He's concerned with, and that's Israel, and He's watching over it. Do you know that? Absolutely. He found them in the desert land and in the waste, howling wilderness. All right, so He led us out. As the eagle stirs up his nest, remember that analogy I gave you about the eaglets and the eagles and getting out of the nest? So the Lord alone did lead them, and there was no strange god with them. How far we have gotten from that. He hath made him ride on the high places of the earth. All right, let's go on to like verse 20, somewhere in there. We'll skip through. Yeah, and he said, I will hide my face from them, and I will see what their end shall be, for they are a very forward generation, children whom there's no faith. Is he talking about today? Yes, woo, watch out. Verse 21, they moved me to jealousy with that which is not God. Here's my question to everybody and all the modern theologians and Christians. Isn't God the same? Does He change? It's impossible. So if He's jealous about other gods then, do you think He's really jealous now? I think so. I think He's really jealous about the church and how apostate we become. Okay? For fire is kindled in my anger. Well, God doesn't get mad. He's love. Read that again. Why is He angry? He's angry because He's jealous. He's a jealous lover. Anybody in this room ever been angry before? I mean, I'm not talking about when you just drove up here. I'm not talking about the traffic you went through or whatever. There's no traffic here. We don't have traffic. This is awesome. Yeah. And he shall burn into the lowest, it shall burn to the lowest hell and shall consume the earth with her increase. All right, so let's move on. I will heap mischief upon them. Go to verse 30. Sorry about that. I know I'm skipping, but I got a lot to teach tonight. How should one chase 1,000 and two put 10,000 except the rock hath what? Sold them, has actually held on them, and the Lord has shut them up. All right, let's go on. For their rock is not as our rock, even as their enemies themselves being judges. For their vine is the vine of Sodom and the fields of Gomorrah. I mean, that's pretty bad, isn't it? Go on to verse 33. Their vine is the poison of dragons and the cruel venom of asps. To me belongeth vengeance and recompense. So he says, look, I'll deal with them. I'm going to take care of it. Aren't you glad God takes care of your enemies? For the Lord shall judge his people, repent himself for his servants. And he shall say, where are thy gods, the rock in whom they trusted? I believe that's going to be said to us here in America in the coming days. Which did eat the fat of their sacrifices and drank the wine of their drink offerings. Let them rise up and help you and be your protection. You know, it sounds kind of smart, don't it? How many of y'all know God has a sense of humor? When you're right, you can be that way. Let me try that again. When you're right, you can be that way because you have absolute authority and you see absolute clarity. And so God says, hey, this is how it is. And we don't understand that, but in Judgment Day, we will. See now that I, even I, am he, and there's no God with me. I kill and I make alive. All right, so we're seeing the characteristics of God here. For I lift up my hand to heaven, and I say I live forever. For I wet my glittering sword, and my hand take hold on judgment, and I will render vengeance to mine enemies and reward them that hate me. Wow, I don't want to see that, but it's coming. And Moses came and spake all the words of the song in the ears of the people. Go to just about verse 40, 46, 48, 7, somewhere in there, and then we'll close it off here. And he said unto them, set your hearts upon all, how many? All the words which I testify among you this day, which you shall command your children, observe to do. You're supposed to teach the children all the words of this law, for it's not a vain thing for you, because it is your what? Life. I don't know why they're acting up. I don't know why they're doing this. I don't know why, you know, Johnny wants to murder whoever. Get the word in them. Say, well, you know, I did, and they ran. Guess what? They'll come back. All right, don't worry about it. They'll come back. You shall prolong your days. So let's go on. This was before Focus on the Family, by the way. Some of you don't even know what that is. God was already teaching them how to raise the youngins. The Lord spake unto Moses that same self day, saying, get thee up into the mountain of Abram, unto Mount Nebo, which is in the land of Moab, that is over against Jericho. And behold, the land of Canaan, which I give unto the children of Israel. Notice it ain't you. And die in the mount. Okay, let's leave it there. Oh, man. So he's poor Moses. He dealt with several million people as a pastor, but he sinned. And then God says, guess what? You're going to die. So, again, I think it's one of the saddest scriptures there because he saw the land, but he couldn't enter in. And there's so many, I've mentioned that last time, so many Christians see these things. They see the promises we teach. They see kingdom living, but they never enter into it. And it's a shame because all these principles are for everybody. You just can't compare yourself with everybody because that's not spiritual. That's not the right way. And that's not what we do. All right, so Deuteronomy 33. We got one more chapter after this. Woo-wee. We almost done did it. We almost done did it. All right, here we go. 33. So let me give you a little backdrop here. These are going to be the prophetic blessings of Moses. I love this chapter because I wrote it in my notes. I wrote, here comes Pastor Moses. It's like, he was the prophet earlier. He was like, let me tell you what's going to happen, you bunch of, you know. But then he comes out as the pastor, the shepherd, and he has a powerful word from the Lord. And much like Jacob had when he was declaring the blessings on his children. So here we go. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel before his death. Let me say this right here. And this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed his children. In your life, you need someone to bless you. Amen. In your life, you need a woman, a man of God, you need somebody in authority, bless you. Lay hands on you and bless you. Blessings are an awesome thing, prophetic blessings. Instead of just wanting to receive a word, you know, of this and of that, you know, people really need a blessing from God. It's powerful. And I know in my ministry, and Jennifer can testify, there were just a few handful of men of God that I would seek out and just bless me. Lay hands on me. Just apply. I don't need a word. I got a word. It's in the Bible. I'm not looking for that. Just bless me. And one of my favorite of all was Dr. Summerall. And he would bless you. He'd say, be blessed. And man, when he said that, it stuck. You know, it was an amazing thing. So he said, this is the blessing wherewith Moses, the man of God, blessed the children of Israel. And the second thing I want you to see here, we got to bless our children. We got to bless them. Every so often, the people that are watching right now, your grandparent or whatever, lay hands on your children and bless them. I don't care if they try to run away from you. Say, what are you doing? Just get over here right now. You want to eat? You like living here? You know, bless them. Lay hands on them. I'm fixing to get you three pretty soon. You know, at certain times of the year, certain times, it's they know that. There's times I'll be like, come here, I want to pray for you. What did I do? You didn't do anything. I just want to bless you. You need to do that. Just don't do it to somebody else's children like a Walmart, and then you'll get in trouble because they'll be like, what are you doing? Unless they let you. My brother Mike done that before, wanted to pray for children. That's a beautiful thing. That's a beautiful thing. Well, before COVID and all that, when we sent our children off to school, we would lay hands on children here to send them off for their new year. Remember that? That's powerful. All right, let's go. And he said, the Lord came from Sinai and rose up from Seir unto them, and he shined forth from Mount Paran, and he came with 10,000s of his saints. From his right hand went a fiery law for them. So he's starting to prophesy, but he's reminding them of the steps that God made with his glory. What he's illustrating here poetically, prophetically and poetically, is like the sun rising. You know how the sun rises and it'll shine on portions of your property or your home, and then it gets larger and it goes on other parts, and as the day proceeds, it gets brighter. These were the points where he met with Moses and showed his glory. And so Moses is being poetic. That's what I like about the Hebrew. The Hebrew is so poetic. A lot of times we read it in the King James, we get a jug of water because it's so dry. But you have to see what he was saying to understand. Okay, and the tens of thousands of saints. Now, where do we hear that again? Jude. Don't we hear that again? He's coming with his saints. That's you and I. Hallelujah. But here there's a double understanding. The saints can be translated angels, angelic, but it's also the children of Israel, because in another verse it explains it. But it's dual. But here it is. So picture, he's like, look, I'm going to bless you. But let me remind you, it's the glory that blesses you. It's his law, his word, that blesses you. Not the hands of a man, but what the man's going to say through the word of God. Okay? So that's what he's doing. Verse 3. Yea, he loved his people. He loved the people. All his saints, see, now he's explaining the saints, are in thy hand. And they sat down at thy feet, every one receive of thy words. Guess what? God still feels the same. Please think about it for a minute. God feels the same. This is the big, bad, you know, ogre God of the Old Testament, right? Y'all know what I'm talking about. When you're in Sunday school, big, bad, you know, you're going to kill everybody. No, this is God. This is our Father. He hasn't changed. Through Jesus Christ, he expressed it himself. He showed himself. For he loved the people. All his saints are in his... He's got the whole world in his hands, doesn't he? He's got the whole world in his hands. He's got the whole world in his hands. Isn't that beautiful? No, that's not very spiritual. That's not mature. You know what? I love it, man. He's got me. I need him. You guys got it all together. I don't. I came in here with Scotch tape. I mean, he got duct tape. I mean, whatever it takes to get you in the house, I need him. Y'all too holy. I need him. All right, watch it. Moses commanded us the law, even the inheritance of the congregation of Jacob. Here's Moses prophesying, but he's talking in his about himself. And he was a king in Jerusalem, and when the heads of his people and the tribes of Israel were gathered together, All right. Now he goes on, he's blessing the tribes. He's going to give them all a blessing. And I'll go through, you know, not in great detail of all the blessings. But what's paramount about this and what's really important to see this indelible mark is that God blessed all the children of Israel, every tribe and everybody related to that. That tells me I'm just as blessed. I'm in the family of God. I'm engrafted into the vine. My elder brother is who? Jesus Christ. And so if that is true, when I read back in the Old Testament and I see the character of the Father blessing the children of Israel, then I can sit here today and say, bless me, Daddy. Bless me, Father God. Bless me. I need a blessing in this crooked world. I need a blessing. So he says, if Reuben live, let Reuben live and not die, and let not his men be few. So remember, there were some problems with Reuben, remember? But yet God said, hey, let him live. Okay? And this is the blessing of Judah. Judah, get a blessing, bro. I told you, see, man, you just got to wait, bro. Well, they always pick on me. And he said, hear, Lord, the voice of Judah, and bring him unto his people, and let his hands be sufficient for him, and be thou a help to him from his enemies. Stop right there. Judah, he was the head of the military. He did military expositions, wars, and he went out there, excursions. It was Judah. Why? Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah, and Judah was a warrior. Isn't that good? So the one inside of you, the greater one, is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. That's why we have a warring spirit inside of us. That's why Christians should never back down. We need to know when to be quiet. We need to know when to walk in different aspects of humility. But then there's times to stand up and say, not here, not now. You're not going to do that. And some of that is not vocal. A lot of that is in prayer. Yep. Okay. And of Levi, he said, let the Thummim and the Urim be the holy one whom thou didst prove at Massah, and with whom thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. So let's stop right there. Thummim, it's kind of a hard word to say, because it's actually the T is not, it's silent in it. And the Urim. So what's he blessing now? Well, now he's blessing the Levites as the priesthood. And he's setting them aside and he's saying, I'm going to give them this ability to know me and to walk in revelatory power. So what was this Urim? What was this particular thing? Well, if you've never studied it before, it's a very interesting study, but it was a leather pouch that was placed on the high priest on the breastplate. And in it, in this debate of whether it was stones, whether it was sticks or a type of disc. But what they were was at least two of them, and they were colored either black or white. Two were black. One was black, one was white, both on different sides of them. And so what they would do is when they would ask of the Lord, what should we do? They would take them, and like lots, they would cast them out. If they landed both on white, that means do it. That's a yes. If it landed on black, it said no. If it was one white and one black, it means to wait. It's very interesting how God, it was divination at the time, but God allowed that medium to be done to help the children of Israel. Now, Moses never used it. He talked to God face to face. Never was a man like Moses. Never was a relationship like that until really when we see the Lord Jesus Christ come on the earth. And so this was a very interesting tool that God used. Now, some scholars say that actually they had lettering on them that would spell out things in Hebrew according to what they're supposed to do. Some even say they glowed and they made like a light type of thing. You know that's for someone else to wonder about. All we know from history is that this is how they would get their information. What happened to it? It was gone. It's no longer in existence. Nobody can find anything at all about it. All we have is Scripture, because the last time we heard about it was in Ezra. Why was that? Because in Ezra, and in the time of the monarchies of the king, God began to remove the priest to the back part of the Levitical worship, and then he brought up the prophet. You see, the king needed a prophet. The king must always have a prophet. Today we need a prophet. Today we need a company of prophets. And so this was removed, and the system no longer mattered. Though the priest was still in operation, it was the prophet that got the word from God. Should we go to battle? Hold on, I'll be right back. Let me go ask God. Okay? Now, how does that translate to you and I today? This is a beautiful picture of when I'm teaching the whole thing, the history part of it. This is a beautiful picture that when the Holy Ghost came and Jesus gave all the gifts unto men, we still use the prophet, but he wants us to operate by his Spirit and operate by his word. We don't need to roll the dice anymore. We don't need to cast lots. That's why you got to be careful with witchcraft type of Christianity. Even using, and I know I always play around with about picking the scripture up and stuff like that. Those type of things, or you know, a Ouija board, getting into witchcraft, or remember the eight ball that you shook and it had an answer in it. All that's divination. And we don't participate in that. Going to a prophet for an answer all the time is dangerous. Look, if somebody contacts me and says, I need a word, I'll pray about it. And if I don't have nothing, it's crickets. Here you go. Have some crickets. Enjoy your crickets, because I don't have anything. Here's a Bible. Read it. Pray. Ask God. Fast till your tongue falls out. I can't help you. But don't expect to live by somebody else's prophecy. Get a relationship with God through the Holy Ghost. Okay, so isn't that interesting how that God allowed that, but he was training, I believe he was training the priesthood, but he gave Levi, the tribe of Levi, this opportunity. And here, watch this. Why else? Thou didst prove at Massah, and when thou didst strive at the waters of Meribah. Go on one more. Who said unto his father and to his mother, I have not seen him, neither did he acknowledge his brother nor his own children, for they have observed thy word and kept thy covenant. What did the Levites do? It's not a trivia question. I'm not going to call on you. Christine, what did... No, I'm just kidding. He's like, what? Oh my gosh. No, what happened there? Remember the golden calf? The Levites did what God said, and they slayed him. They slew him. He killed him. Even unto family. Jesus said, do you love me more than your mother? Do your brother? Do you love me more than these things? And the Levitical order received the priesthood because they obeyed at those places. They obeyed even to their family. They said, we will serve God. And that was a test for them. And it later became a blessing to where they received revelation knowledge. How does that work for you and I today? It works this way. If trust is found in me, then promotion comes. Let me try that again. It didn't go over very well. If trust is found in me, in other words, if God can trust me, he will promote me. How does he trust me? Through obedience. You can tell me you're with me, you're this and you're that all day long, and I got your back. But if I don't see the obedience behind the words, I can't trust what you just said. Right? But when I see your track record, your faithfulness, I'm like, I can trust that person because they're obedient to it. So Levi earned this. Isn't that awesome? This is huge. Because you know what this is? I'm reading to you basically the Academy Awards of prophetic blessings. Come on up, Levi. Let's talk about what you won today. You know, it is. Think about it. He's before all the children of Israel. This isn't in some back office somewhere. He's in front of everybody. He's like, come here, Reuben. And he gives Reuben a blessing. Come here, Judah. He gives Judah a blessing. And he's like, Levi, remember what you did? See, you got to read the Bible the way it's written. You got to use your imagination. So he said, man, you followed. You kept the commandment. You kept the covenant. That's powerful, isn't it? And they shall teach Jacob thy judgments. You see, he's a promoted. They're going to teach Jacob, which is Israel, the judgments in Israel, thy law. And they shall put incense before thee and burnt, whole burnt offerings upon thine altar. Again, how does it translate for you and I? It's like this. There are levels of permission in God. There's levels of authority in his kingdom. There's levels of access into God. This is an Amway. This is just the way it is. And when we obey and we walk by faith and God can trust us more and more, he gives you further access. He does. If you look at the life of Jesus, he kept three very close to him, the triclinium. Then he had the 12. Then he had the 70. Then he had the multitudes. I mean, everything began to span out, but he kept certain very close to him. And there is all access to everybody that's watching me right now through the blood of Jesus. But not everybody's able to go into the depth of God and get the depth of revelation he wants to give them because he can't trust them. So it's the truth. We don't want to hear it because I have a revelation too. I know. I know you do. I've heard it. But the people talk about, okay. They shall put incense before thee and the whole burnt offering sacrifice upon thine altar. So they had access. You go. Let me try it this way. You go try that. If you're living in that day, go ahead and just run in there and try to do that. How many of y'all like s'mores? You like French fries? You like them really cooked? Because that's exactly what you would be. And that's why they tied a string and a bell to the feet of the high priest. You all know that. Because once that thing stopped ding-a-linging, he was gone. He must have had a bad day at the house because God just killed him. He done something wrong. Now, I'm not telling you, you know, he's going to do that to you. You got to wear a bell. So I'm going to start a new trend. My bell's ringing. Yeah, it ain't going all the way up either there, sweetie. All right, let's go. Bless the Lord. His substance and accept the work of his hands. Smite through the loins of them that rise up against them and of them that hate him that rise they rise not up against. So God, he's like, look, the Levites are going to be protected. They're going to be provided for. All right, verse 12. And of Benjamin. Woohoo! I love Benjamin. And that's a good name. And he said, the beloved of the Lord. Man, I just got to stay there for a minute. And he said, Benjamin, the beloved of the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. Watch this. And the Lord shall dwell in safety by him. Why? Because they were bad to the bone. They were warriors. And the Lord shall cover him all the day long. So the Lord covers them and shall dwell between his shoulders. He shall dwell between his shoulders. What does all that mean? It's kind of like it's obscure when you read that. Well, here's what it means. If you go back to the maps of Israel, the temple, not the tabernacle, the temple was located where Benjamin rested. And also, it's where Jerusalem rested, was where the tribe of Benjamin existed. So he blessed him and he prophesied and he said, boom, I'm going to bless you with this. You're a warrior. I'm going to protect you and I'm going to cover you and you're going to provide and I'm going to dwell in safety with you and all these different things. And he said, I'm giving this to Benjamin. This is your lot. This is your portion. Guess what? Can I tell you something? We're no longer divided by the tribes of Israel, the 12 tribes of Israel. This is now the temple of the Holy Ghost. And now he dwells in us and he covers us. Come on now. And his kingdom and his authority and his government is where? On his shoulders. Woo! Glory to God. You see how it is? That's why going back to Hebrew roots and all that stuff is not a healthy thing because all of it gets washed in the blood. Everything is a new covenant. It's a new opportunity. You should know history. Nothing wrong with that. But be careful you don't get indoctrinated with something that tries to make you an elite that you're not. And of Joseph, he said, blessed of the Lord be his land for the precious things of heaven, for the dew and for the deep that couches beneath. You know what that means? It means that land was very fertile and the deep beneath it was water. It couched beneath it. In other words, there were rivers underneath. It was healthy land. You know, when they dug down, man, they had moisture, fertilization. Okay? They didn't need Tractor Supply. And for the precious fruit brought forth by the sun, and the precious things put forth by the moon. Even the moon got involved. That's pretty heavy. And the moon does get involved in harvest, doesn't it? A lot of folks don't know that. We'll have to tell them that. And for the chief things of the ancient mountains, and for the precious things of the lasting hills. So, man, they're getting blessed all over, Joseph is. And for the precious things of the earth and the fullness thereof, and for the goodwill of him that dwelt in the bush, let the blessings come upon, that's hillbilly right there in the bush. Let the blessings come upon the head of Joseph, woo, and upon the top of the head of him that was separated from his brethren. Now let me show you something. This is really cool. When I was reading this, it just tickled me really big time. Because in the prophetic blessings of God, he's remembering their actions of the past. Remember I said trust, promotion, obedience. He's remembering it. He remembered Judah. He remembered Benjamin. Everybody, he remembered them. But what was this about Joseph? Joseph was sold into slavery by his brethren. You ever been kicked to the curb? By somebody in the church? By your own family member? Let me tell you something. God does not forget what battles we've been through. God does not forget our journey. He doesn't forget our struggle. And he writes it down. And at some point, I promise you, the word promises you, he'll bless you if you let him. Say, what do you mean by if I let him? If you sit there and murmur and complain and vengeance and want to do it all yourself, you won't enter into it. But if you say, Lord, this is your battle. I give it to you. Look what Joseph did. He could have had them all killed. Couldn't he have? He was the second most powerful man in the country. He could have done a lot more to them, but he didn't. He saved his family, and he wept, and he hugged his brothers for what they did. That's amazing. That's the story of Jesus, by the way. Okay? So Joseph, I think he should get the fertile land. He blessed Potiphar, didn't he? Everything he touched in Potiphar's house got blessed. To the point even the wife wanted him. And he said, uh-uh, Jezebel. Get away from me, you slug, right? And God still blessed Joseph, even though he had to go to the prison. Why? His promise was the palace, and he made it. So God remembered it. I love this, because that's the way it is. His glory is like the firstling of his bullock, and of his horns are like the horns of unicorns, which is not unicorns like you think. Okay. With them he shall... I love when people say, see, it's in the Bible, man. Herbs. You ever heard that? You can smoke herbs and there's unicorns, bro. They go together. Yeah, it's a box of Lucky Charms, you weirdo. Stop. Just stop. It was not a unicorn like you think. It was a different desert animal. With them he shall push the people together to the ends of the earth. And they are the 10,000s of Ephraim. Watch this. And they are the thousands of Manasseh. Scratch, scratch, scratch. Wait a minute. Let's read that one more time. They are the 10,000s of Ephraim, and they are the thousands of Manasseh. Is there a misprint? Because Manasseh is the firstborn, and Ephraim is the secondborn. But the firstborn gets less than the secondborn. That ain't right, is it? But that's the way it was prophesied. That's the way it was declared that the, what? That the younger would rule. Is that right? Yes. Let me give you the scripture. So you all staring at me. They're like, yeah, oh, yeah, we believe you. Where's that? what is this? Verse, what is this, 17? Yeah. Go up there. Genesis 48:19, I believe is what it is. That way we have it on the screen. Sorry to put you on the spot. But that way you have it. And his father refused and said, I know it, my son. I know it. He also shall become a people, and he also shall be great. But truly his younger brother shall be greater than he, and his seed shall become a multitude of nations. So it was a prophecy from Jacob, but God honored it. Even though it was out of line, because a firstborn is supposed to be the leader of it. But that's not how it was done. And so God honored that. Isn't that cool? So it went all the way through to this time. And what I love about this, and I don't know if I articulate this good enough. Maybe I just jump up and down, put a clown suit on or something. But this is how God remembers us. He doesn't forget about me. He doesn't forget about you. And I know that's hard in a sea of people and a church and life. And we're just like bobbling around, man. But God sees you. Every hair upon your head is numbered. Everything about you is known. And he looks intently at you. I don't understand that. I really don't. I don't know how he does it. I don't know how can he hear everybody pray? I have a hard time multitasking. If my wife is talking to me, I have to stop everything and look at her. If not, I'm like the guy with the spot, you know, in the commercial where he's at an interview and the guy's looking at a spot and the spot's talking. He's looking at something else. I mean, I have to do this. So she can sit there and type and talk and cook with her feet. I'm like, I can't do that. All right, go. I can't do that. All right, so, but I want to emphasize this. God remembers your struggle. He remembers your blessing. He remembers prophecies that were given to us when we were older. You ought to just sometimes sit down. Everybody listen, sit down and try to go through some old prophecies that God gave you or people gave you. I have a book of things I've written down over the years, Revelations, and just go back and read it and remind yourself of what God said about you. I don't care if it hasn't come to pass yet. All right. Man, it blesses me. And Zebulun, he said, rejoice, Zebulun, in thy going out. That's all you get. Thanks, Zebulun. Rejoice. Okay. And get out of here. And Issachar in thy tents. Hey, they got blessed, didn't they? They got tents. You got a tent? And they shall call the people unto the mountain, and they shall offer sacrifices of righteousness, for they shall suck of the abundance of the seas and of the treasures hid in the sand. Talking about the blessings. And of Gad, he said, blessed be he that enlargeth Gad. He dwelleth as a lion and teareth the arm with the crown of the head. How many all from the tribe of Gad? Wow. Maybe that's where we get the word egads from. All right. And you got to remember that. I mean, some people are like, what did he just get the CD? And he provided the first part of himself, because there in a portion of the lawgiver he was seated, and he came with the heads of the people and executed the justice of the Lord and judgment with Israel. So basically they were like a strong arm. They were legislative. They were judgmental in law. They were strong. Gad was strong. Okay. Like a lion. And of Dan, he said, Dan is a lion's whelp. He shall leap from Bashan. There's much to study about that. Nephtali, he said, O Nephtali, satisfied with favor and full with the blessings of the Lord, possess thou the west and the south. And of Asher, he said, let Asher be blessed with children. Let him be acceptable to his brethren. Let him dip his foot in oil. Now this is really cool, because what he's saying is, with the dipping the foot in oil means to be prosperous. Because in that region, the portion of land that they got, there were the olive trees. And if you know anything about olive oil, number one, it's expensive. Number two, it's the best oil on the planet for your body, heart, and all kinds of stuff are involved in that. And so he's basically let him dip his foot in it. So he's being saturated with it. All right. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. As thy day shall, so shall thy strength be. I'm trying not to hurry. Give me just a 5 minutes after. But this is really good. Thy shoes shall be iron and brass. What does that mean? The shoes are going to be iron and brass. Well, basically what it means is, back in the warrior times and in the army times, they would make their leggings and their shields out of iron and out of brass. Goliath wore them. They're called greaves, by the way. Greaves. Greaves. And they would wear them. And what he was telling them was that you're going to be, your shoes are going to be iron and brass. You're going to be a warrior. You're going to be strong. But look what he says here, and this is so comforting. As thy days, so shall thy strength be. So in other words, as you get older, you become stronger. Now, I mean, you may not feel that way. You may wake up and say, oh my gosh. Oh, I don't know about this, Lord. But he was telling them, look, with your longevity, you have strength with me. With your longevity, the path of the bright, the path of the righteous grows brighter and brighter. We're supposed to be bigger and better as we get older. Yeah, our bodies go through things, but look at Caleb. Look at Caleb and give me this mountain. You know, I'm old, but give me this thing, man. Look at Joshua. Look at all the great. I have to go back to, not to idolize, but I go back to Dr. Summerall, 80-something years old, and he would travel the world. And when he'd come back to the States, he would have to drop off pastors who were helping him at 30, 35 years old because they couldn't go any further. They couldn't. That's a true story. And I had a good friend of mine, Kevin, I won't mention his last name, he's passed on, but a very dear friend was an associate of Dr. Summerall's, and you remember Kevin, and they couldn't keep up with his stamina. At 80-something years old, I love it. I want to be that way. Come on, I may not be able to run a mile and, you know, all these different things, but I want to have vigor. I want to be serving God. Someone says, well, by the time you're 80, I hope we're out of here. Well, maybe, but just say I'm young, so it could be a while, you know, so anyways. But I love that. There is none like unto the God of Jizron, who rideth upon the heavens in thy help and in the excellency on the sky. The eternal God is thy refuge.
Amen.
Watch this. And underneath are the everlasting arms. And he shall thrust out the enemy from before thee. So God is above me, God is underneath me, and God is before me. He's before us, isn't he? He's there. And shall say what? Destroy them. Verse 28. And Israel then shall dwell in safety alone, and the fountain of Jacob shall be upon the land of corn and wine. All the heavens shall drop down dew. Talking about the blessings. Happy art thou. So why you said? He's coming to the end of the prophecy. You ought to be happy. Just think about it. The award ceremony is over. He's just mentioned everybody in the tribe and all the little tribets, all the little folks below them. They're all part of it, right? O Israel, who is likened to thee, O people saved by the Lord, the shield of thy help, and who is the sword of thy excellency? And thine enemies shall be found liars unto thee, and thou shalt tread upon their high places. That last scripture?
Amen.
Absolutely. So, he's blessing them. And this is what I love. Again, as we close, we look at Moses, we look at Deuteronomy. It's like, oh my gosh, there's killing, there's cursing, there's, you know, he's doing this, he's promising that. But you know what? That was because of their disobedience. He knew they were going to fail. But then he blesses them. And he gave them grace and mercy when they needed it. Father, thank you for this opportunity to teach Deuteronomy 33. Lord, if I can leave anything tonight, I want an indelible mark in our hearts that you are the same towards us. You don't look at us in division. You look at us in love. You got a plan for everybody listening to me right now. You got a plan to prosper them. Even in the last days, you will provide for your people. Prosperity has many faces. And we're thankful, Father God, you shine down on those faces. Bless us the rest of this week. We look forward to Sunday morning. In Jesus' name, amen. I love everybody. I'll see you Sunday. Bring somebody with you.